the Oceana Community Services District Board meeting for June 8th. Celia, can I ask you for a roll call vote, please?
Director Angelo?
She's not present tonight.
Director Blackburn?
Here.
Director Garrow?
Present.
Vice President White?
Here.
President Lucy?
Here. Thank you. Karen, can I ask you to lead us in a flag salute?
Attention, salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You know, I think that's the best flag salute we've ever done. I know. Okay, is there anybody who would like to change, revise, reorganize the agenda? We'll be accepting no additions tonight, though. I'm sorry. No?
Staff has no changes. Motion.
So move. I move we approve the agenda.
Look, second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstained? 4-0. So, yeah. Okay. Ms. Tucker. Public comment. Okay. We don't have any public comment tonight. All right, moving right along, special presentations. Tony, let's roll, bud.
This would be item 6AD then, is that correct?
6A2.
Three.
Two.
Four. Oh, two, you're right, okay. Two. I should learn how to read.
Good evening, Board, Tony Maricino.
Hi, Tony, how are you tonight?
Great.
Thanks for coming.
Everything's been going really well. No complaints, no catastrophic events. As you can see, Paso's getting paved.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And our valve boxes and sewer manholes, they'll be raised. And CHC did a little walkthrough with them today.
Oh.
A lot more projects going on.
You know,
the Avocado Ranch, that'll be starting here soon.
And that's under new ownership, correct?
Absolutely.
Great.
Yes.
Welcome.
So as for the water production, I haven't gotten those numbers yet from the county, so I'll give that to you next board meeting. But we had no SSOs for May. We had one call-out. The call-out was due to a USA underground service alert. A gas line was hit in Tierra, which is a Rio Grande, but it's our water service. So they had to call out our operator to go mark. Valve turning, I attended an Excel class. It was a two-day course. We had rereads, highs, lows, leaks, notifications, meter boxes. Changed out actually a couple meters, raised a few meter boxes in the alleyways, concreting them in. Everything's going really well.
Sounds
great.
Good
stuff. Yes.
The roads look good in town. And
yeah. So it should be done Friday.
Especially this morning, the last couple of days with the road paving, they've been at my intersection, and there's flagmen at each corner, and they keep sending me around. I felt like, where's Waldo, trying to get home, because they kept sending me to another. They said, can you go around? And so I kept doing it. Finally, I had to park on Highway 1 for quite a while waiting for my flag, but it was fine. I'm really appreciative.
Nice little roundabout for you.
It was, yeah. I didn't need to go home anyway. It was good, and I really appreciate their service in the county, what they're doing. So I guess it'll be at least another 10 years before we get curbs and gutters on Paso Robles Street because they're not putting them in. So, and I'm lukewarm on it both ways. It's not my house; it's losing the front yard. So, yeah, that's, you know.
Don't get so much runoff.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, we had 9 work orders, 8 USAs, 6 customer service calls, and the 1 call out. Any questions?
No, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you,
Tony. Get some sunscreen.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Mr. Ogren.
I think Tony failed to mention that he also moved into his new home in Oceano.
Oh, yes.
Ah.
Thank you. Congratulations, Tony.
Welcome to town.
He doubled the square footage. He doesn't know what to do with himself.
And for all of us who have moved many times, we know that going back to work is very relaxing after a heavy move. So
you're an official Oceano ratepayer. Congratulations. Yes. Badge of honor.
Thank you.
I would check your meter.
Madam President, members of the board, my quick update. I did not attend the last Zone 3 Advisory Committee meeting. I was under the weather. The basic, they had updates. They had no action items. At the Zone 3 Advisory Committee, at the Technical Advisory Committee, county staff presented 3-year evaluations of the Lopez supply. Mm-hmm. Under the new regulations that are being considered by the State Water Board, rather than the mandatory 25% rationing that the governor had declared, and that's being lifted in lieu of a new program, which is that each agency has to project 3-year water supplies and develop their own conservation targets based on their supplies. We don't have to do that at Oceano because we're not an urban water supplier. We're not, 3,000 connections or 3,000 acre feet. But we're still following those projections. And so the county has done a good work on that. And I'll speak to that during the agenda item on water. The other efforts that are sort of dominating my time right now is that we have the auditors in the office, and they're auditing our June 30, 2015 financial statements. Also been working on the preliminary budget, which is a 2-year budget approach based on prior discussions with your board. And then when that the current number crunching is done, we'll be turning around to next year's audit, or the one that's going to end June 30th of this year. I have talked to the county auditor to indicate that it's going to be very close as to whether or not we submit the 2015 audit by June 30th of this year. And so I've had that discussion with him. But it's been a lot of number crunching and financial work right now. We have also initiated our coordination with the county on utility relocations, both those associated with the Highway 1 drainage project as well as the Air Park bridge replacement project. And we'll have some items on the agendas for your board's consideration in the near future on those.
Mr. Ogren, do we have a time when we anticipate that those two projects will begin?
Both are possibilities in 2017. Air Park Drive Bridge is probably a greater possibility in 2017. And the discussion with the county today is that the Highway 1 drainage project is more likely in 2018, but they're still hopeful for 2017. But that's subject to...
smooth sailing.
Yeah, and that's, I think that's actually about the... let me back up. Air Park Drive is the one that's more likely to be in 2018.
Okay.
Because for the bridge, they still have to get their coastal development permit.
Correct.
And it is in original jurisdiction of the Coastal Commission. And so a lot of that is going to be dependent on the Coastal Commission's calendar and schedule. Well, again, both projects are going to be a little bit wait and see. But we want to make sure that we have our design efforts done in time to be incorporated into their bid packages, similar to the approach that we took on the AC overlay program, where we're obligated to raise our manholes, but those costs were actually included in the county's project when it went out to bid, and so we're reimbursing county for those work efforts.
Very good.
Again, both of those items will have to be future agenda items. But that coordination is going on right now. And then the last quick verbal report is that we have offered and have been accepted, made an offer to an individual for the business and accounting manager position, and she's accepted it, and will be starting on Monday, June 20th. I'm very happy to have her come on board. Her name is Carrie Cassiola, was originally a San Luis Obispo High grad. In 2006, went to the University of San Diego, got her accounting degree down there, and has been working in the San Diego area for both a CPA firm right after college, as well as for one of the dot-coms down there more recently. Has very good experience, good grades, and looking forward for her joining the team. Under future agenda items, we have a recommendation for the special meeting to consider the preliminary budget on June 29th, and we'll get there. Hopefully we can do that during normal working hours, and that would give everybody the opportunity also to meet Carrie at that time.
Great.
And that concludes my quick updates.
Thank you, Mr. Ogre.
Thank you, Pavel. I'm looking forward to her being on board. I'm meeting her. I haven't met her yet. So.
All right. Do we have any outside committees to people do want to report
I
on?
I don't. I did not attend any.
Okay, Carrie?
I also didn't have any to attend.
Okay. Jennifer?
I did attend the Integrated Regional Water Management Group meeting, and where they reported back that they had received the abstracts for the disadvantaged communities grant from Grover Beach, Atascadero Mutual Water Company, us, and San Simeon. They had yet to hear from SLO and San Miguel, so they just kind of gave an update on that. And I also attended RAC, where they discussed some budgeting reserve recommendations.
Okay, great. And I want to thank you for attending the RAC meetings.
Sure.
I attended the San Luis Obispo Sanitation Place District, and I don't have the final recommendations, but the litigation for the fine for the spill of 2010 has been settled. The final details are being worked out. What I do know is that a certain percentage of the $1.1 million fine will go towards plant upgrades. I think that's the best we could all hope for. I think I want to thank first of all Mr. Gerhard Ubner, the new general manager for the sanitation district. Without his connections, I lack of better term, his working relationships with people on the regional water board, he was able to get in there and have a good, clean dialogue and the best outcome that any of us could hope for at this point. And Mr. Scholes worked very hard as well to make that happen. And so I do want to extend a gratitude of appreciation to both of them for that. And it was a 3-0 vote. We all agreed to accept the settlement, hoping that a large percentage of those funds will come to the sanitation district. Excuse me. And I think that's about...
Mary, can I comment on one thing? Obviously, yes. I don't know the details on the proposed settlement or what stage it's at for the sanitation district, but I do want to also acknowledge and thank and give credit to Mayor Scholes,
yes,
and Gerhard Hubner for their ability to build consensus, their ability to really de-escalate a contentious situation and to bring it to a resolution, to work with the board, to not be lone rangers, and yet to work with the board and to do it for the right reasons.
No, there was collaboration all along the way, constant communication with the board of directors, and no, this time, no director arbitrarily went off track and did it by themselves, tried to attempt to go in there and be the savior.
I think that's fantastic, and I'll look forward to celebrating that.
Yeah.
When that happens.
Yeah, so we'll hope that this point in our history moves and keeps moving on. But I do think it's a good thing for the sanitation district, because they do have a full plate, and we need to start moving the agenda. So
I did go for good. A few minutes. I was there for a little bit. And one thing that's really disturbing is it's a sanitation district. It's not that hard.
No.
And it's being the negative energy and the contention and the gamesmanship, I don't know how else to put it, and the political attacks that are needless. And this is really a district that's three entities that needs to be ruled with a consensus where people can agree to disagree, but that it not be personal attacks and these sorts of things. And so it was really alarming to me, again, to see that sort of toxic energy in the room. And I really want our board the other boards or the other city councils that are involved to really state a support of Gerhard Hubner, the moving forward, the major capital improvement projects that are, that we are going to be moving forward as a community that are going to affect generations to come. He is the quarterback on this, and
yep.
we really need to make sure that that happens. And if you could deliver that message to him, to let him know that that he has our support, and I think it would be greatly appreciated.
Yeah, it has been a hard road, that entire organizational structure, and so I've dealt with, you know, political gains. I've never dealt so much with personal capital gains, so it's a little challenging. Right.
And the manufacturing of drama, and let's create an issue, and you know, it's just been really frustrating to watch,
yeah.
and it's been a distracting staff time, and they're making them unable to really move the district in the direction that the board is directing them to go. And so thank you for being there.
But all we can do is rally around him and support him.
Thank you.
Because he definitely knows what he's doing. So on that note,
what's the property tax?
I got, wait, what about it?
The tax rolls?
I guess everybody knows about it.
Well, there was a vote taken to well, it's a little complicated. Mayor Hill had made a recommendation. He had designed a hybrid, a proposal to send the ratepayers for Oceano's sanitation bills to the county tax assessor's office, that then in turn, instead of us paying sanitation charges every 2 months, they'll be collected onto our tax rolls. Now, it won't be any higher in our tax base. It will just mean that we won't pay every 60 days. We'll pay twice a year with our taxes. As far as renters go, that will have to be decided among the owners and the renters, but that's the change. It will be for the ratepayers only for the Oceano area. Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach, who are our collaborating entities on that project, he left them out of the proposal, and I think that they're getting, I don't know what's happening with them, but I know that Oceana was singled out and sent on to the tax rolls, and so that final vote did occur as well.
You know, I think that the helpful hint for individuals who may be listening tonight,
yes,
and who, like, I know on my mortgage, I use an impound account. That way, when December and April come around, I don't have to worry about those checks. And if individuals who have mortgage payments also have impound accounts, the smart thing to do is to contact, you know, who's ever servicing their mortgage to inform them so that they can make the adjustment right up front. And that way they'll be paying, you know, every month and they won't have to, you know, worry about some sort of an adjustment that they would otherwise get from their mortgage servicing company.
Correct.
Yeah.
Thank you. So what it'll average out to be is about $230 a year.
I can't recall what the sanitation district's charges are.
Okay. So, but we'll keep you posted and we'll keep everybody as informed as we possibly can. And I strongly encourage you to call the sanitation district if you have any more questions. And on that note, we're going to move it right along. Is there anybody who'd like to do public comment on these items? Okay, hearing none, we're going to move to approving the consent agendas. Do we have any corrections to the minutes or the warrant pack?
I'll move to approve. Jennifer, do you have I'll move to approve as presented then.
Second.
Okay.
Even though there's no members of the public, you know, formally providing the opportunity.
Is there anybody from the community who would like to comment on the consent agenda items? Oh, hearing none. I'll entertain a motion. Matt?
The motion moved to approve.
Okay. Second. Do we need a roll call on this one? Nope. So you want to call all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. 4-0, thank you. All right. Any public comment on any hearing items we're going to discuss drought buffer water tonight? And so if anybody would like to public comment on that, now's the time to do it. Thank you very much. Mr. Ogren, you have the floor.
Thank you, President Lucy, members of the board. Agenda item 8A is consideration of a recommendation to approve a drought buffer water agreement with the San Luis Obispo County Flood Control and Water Conservation District and to direct the president to execute. Within the four recommendations, number three would have your board, if you are so inclined, to specify the drought buffer water amount to be included in Article 8. And I illustrated a couple of different examples within the staff report. One of the things in kicking off my verbal presentation today, because I do have quite a bit of details in the staff report. Overall, it's a 37-page staff report, but that includes both the drought buffer water agreement as well as your current state water supply agreement with the county. And just for clarification, during discussions, I will refer to it as the county, even though technically it's the flood control district of the county. But as a lead-off point of emphasis, your board does not need to make a decision tonight. Time is not of the essence. As with the recently approved agreement by Avila Beach Community Services District, the agreement that's in front of you today would not go into effect until January 1st of 2017. So a decision isn't absolutely necessary today. But the purpose of having it on the agenda this evening is really twofold. You know, one is obviously we're still in a drought, and even though much of the state has been relieved of the exceptional drought category, the Central Coast has not. We did not even come close to getting average rainfall, so we're in our fifth consecutive year of a drought. And we are heavily reliant on state water during this drought, and as I'll discuss a little bit more, the county's excess allocation. So in terms of policy considerations and the recommendations on that, I'll speak to that in a few more minutes. But the second of the twofold reason is that I am in the process of preparing the preliminary budget for your board's consideration. And so some feedback on this particular issue, at least tonight, is important. At your next meeting on June 22nd, the regular meeting, I will provide a detailed review of the current budget and where we stand in the current year, as well as the proposed budget. One of the options for your board tonight, if you're supportive of the recommendation in general, would be to adopt staff recommendations subject to the approval of the final adopted budget with sufficient funding in it. And that is, you know, certainly one of the options that you have tonight. What I wanted to really avoid is to have an evening where we're into a detailed discussion on budget and financial numbers, as well as a detailed discussion on this particular issue. So I thought, get this on the table first, make sure that I understand if you have any other questions. So one is, you know, how does it fit into the budget? And I will address that as well momentarily. But there may be other questions that you have relating to this particular item. So we have time to follow up on those if needed. I identified that in the staff report that we have $935,990 in the budget for state water, and actual costs for the current year will be far less. I'm currently estimating about $850,000 in costs for state water. And one of the reasons it's going to be far less is that the current budget numbers were really built in part on prior year when the district did buy multi-year pool water from the county. And so our costs have come down in the last year and in the current year as compared to what they were a couple years ago. So I'm currently waiting for some cost estimates for next year from the county on state water, but it does seem apparent that the cost of participating in the state water project drought buffer program and the agenda item today is within the line items that we have for state water, the line item budget costs for state water, and what we incorporated into the Prop 218 ordinance that was adopted in April of last year. But as with any budget, some line items have to go up and some line items have to go down. And so if your board's comfort is to, again, one of the options is to adopt staff recommendations subject to sufficient funding in the final adopted budget. From a policy or a water resource perspective, there are really five reasons supporting the recommendations tonight. But before I jump into those five reasons, what is the program that we're talking about? And overall, when it comes to state water, the idea is think about wet water and then think about insurance water. So the wet water is the water where we have pipeline and treatment plant capacity. And for Oceano, that's 750 acre feet a year, and that was the contract that was adopted in May of 1992. The insurance water does not provide any ability to deliver more than 750 acre feet in any given year, because that's the limitation against with pipeline capacity. But insurance water does provide two different benefits. One benefit is the idea when state water is not delivering 100% of its allocation, then the drought buffer water helps to provide the additional allocation. So, for example, on page 22, I provided a couple examples for the current year, the three largest contractors for state water from the county, Morro Bay, Pismo Beach, and Oceano. And Morro Bay has a wet water or a maximum delivery capability of 1,313 acre feet. They've bought drought buffer in total of 2,290 acre feet for a total state water allocation of 3,603. This year's state water delivery percentage is 60%, which means that they have 2,162 acre feet of state water available to them this year. But because their wet water capacity limitation is 1,313, it means that the difference of 1,441 acre feet of water is what they have available. And you know what? I have to have a quick check on that because I don't think the 1,441 is the correct. I took a difference there that's not quite right. Their ability to put water in storage would be about 900 acre feet. So when their allocation is 2,162 acre feet with a 60% delivery year, but their wet water capability is only 1,330, the difference between 2,162 and 1,330 is what they can provide in storage. So the drought buffer provides them with a higher degree of reliability. And in a year like this, they have then the ability to store water in San Luis Reservoir, essentially helping them make it available for subsequent years. As an example on Morro Bay, because they do have the drought buffer water agreement, their water in storage for state water at the beginning of this calendar year was about 1.5 years times their supply. And it's going to go up to about 2.26 years times their supply. So they have been able to execute state water in a way where they have a significant amount of storage of state water in San Luis Reservoir. Now, they also buy a lot of drought buffer water. The second example is Pismo Beach, who has bought drought buffer water equivalent to their basic water supply amount. And so they, too, although just by a little bit, will be able to increase their stored water in the state water project. Again, it provides two benefits. One is it increases the reliability of the project because you have a greater allocation. And second, that you have the ability to store state water, which we really don't have the ability to do today because we don't have sufficient allocation. As a general comparison on costs, our wet water is running $1,100, $1,200 an acre foot every year. Drought buffer water only costs about $107 an acre foot. And that's because the cost is tied to facilities that were constructed in the 1990s. And essentially, that's $107 an acre foot is what the countywide taxpayers are paying right now. Whenever any of the agencies buy drought buffer water, then that's less of a burden on countywide taxpayers. So it, that insurance is $107 an acre foot. In, you know, rough terms, that's about 10% of the cost of wet water. So your insurance policy costs you 10% of your regular water. So on point number one, in the current drought, Oceano is doing very well, and very well compared to other agencies. But Oceano has done well because of the ability to rely on the county's excess allocation. So let me back up and talk about what is the county's excess allocation. The county's total allocation in state water is 25,000 acre feet, and about 10,000 acre foot of that has been purchased by local agencies for wet water delivery as well as for drought buffer. Which means that the county has about 15,000 acre feet of excess allocation that countywide taxpayers are paying for, including residents of Oceano, on property tax bills. It's a relatively nominal amount if you look at your property tax bills, but nevertheless, it's still there. And so that 15,000 acre feet is called the excess allocation. The second exhibit on page 22 is what illustrates the degree to which Oceano has relied on the county's excess allocation over the last 3 years, including 2016. And so in 2014, where there is only a 5% delivery of state water, our basic allocation of 750 acre feet would only have gotten us 38 acre feet of state water. Our reliance on the county's excess allocation, again, for which we don't pay, allowed us to get another 326 acre feet of state water. We use that in order to recharacterize our deliveries from Lopez to state water, and therefore we are able to save that 326 acre feet and put it in storage in Lopez. But the point here is that that 326 acre feet in a 5% delivery year was really relying on 6,520 acre feet of the county's excess allocation. Granted, the county had a lot of water in storage, so they had really saved up that water over a multiple-year period. But it illustrates that in a low delivery percentage year, if we didn't have that county excess allocation, we would have drawn all that water out of Lopez, and we would have half as much saved in Lopez as what we have saved today. Now, in 2015, I think we moved to what is more of a normal type of a drought year, where it was a 20% delivery of state water. In that year, our basic allocation would have only gotten us 150 acre feet of water. Our actual usage was 571 acre feet, and so we relied on, we obtained 421 acre feet out of the county's excess allocation. When you divide that by 20%, it meant that we relied on 2,105 acre feet of that 15,000. So both in 2014 and 2015, significant reliance on the county's excess allocation. And in 2016, with a 60% delivery year, which is, you know, a far better number, obviously, out of our allocation of 750, we are still going to need 300 acre feet out of the county's excess allocation, which when you divide by 60% means that it's 500 acre feet out of that 15,000. So even though this year is much better, we're still relying significantly on the county's excess allocation. The real issue there is how long can we figure that we can rely on the county's excess allocation, because point number two is that it's not guaranteed. We don't have any contractual right to be able to rely on it in the long term, because the county can sell their excess allocation, and it's worth a lot of money. Now, I don't want to put any fear in there, but here's a couple of points. One is the county, and it's included here, and obviously discussed it with the board on prior meetings, and that's why we're here today. But the county is currently pursuing changes in how they use that excess allocation in two ways right now. One is they have the letter of intent with the Central Coast Water Authority to provide emergency water down to CCWA in exchange for being able to use CCWA's existing capacities and pipelines and treatment plants in order to bring emergency water into San Luis Obispo County if needed as the drought continues. So the county's current efforts are clear that they identify that state water can be a very important emergency use within our county, and they're working with CCWA and the Department of Water Resources to try to figure out how that might happen. Now, as we discussed at a future board meeting, at a past board meeting, that if they want to deliver additional water within the county's boundaries to agencies for emergency purposes, all existing subcontractors get to participate in that decision. But over time, just like any other water resource, the demands on the resource are getting greater and greater, and so the ability to rely on that excess allocation without having an actual drought buffer agreement will diminish over time. With respect to how much is that excess allocation really worth to the county, it's a lot. So what we've seen in the last 5-10 years is the transfer on a permanent basis of state water within the system, and the general ballpark for the one-time payment of an acre foot of state water allocation is in the realm of $3,000 to $5,000 per acre foot. Now, the buyer takes over all future costs, but the seller gets a one-time payment of $3,000 to $5,000 per acre foot. And when you multiply that times 15,000 acre feet, that means that my opinion is that the current estimated value of the county's excess allocation is between $45 and $75 million. And that is a large sum of money. So as water resources become more constrained and there's more competition for that water resource, and as the county flood control district, not the county general fund, but you know the flood control district, which is only water resource-based, certainly at some point in time in the future, the value of that asset is going to be weighed with the needs throughout the county on water resource issues, and the county has the ability to sell it. And there's nothing any of the subcontractors can do to stop that. Now, there is a county policy that provides a first right of refusal, that if the county intends to sell this excess allocation on a permanent basis to some other agency outside of San Luis Obispo County, there's a policy that all the state water subcontractors in San Luis Obispo County would have a first right of refusal. The concern is at that point in time, is it going to be a first right of refusal at $3,000 to $5,000 an acre foot or not? The other concern is when that day comes, quite literally, who is going to be on the OCSD board of directors, and are we going to be in a drought or are we not going to be in a drought, and you know what kind of decision making might happen at that point in time. So we are in a current drought. We need to understand that the most important water resource asset that we have that has helped us get through the drought is state water, but at the same time, we're relying on a county excess allocation that we're not paying for and we don't have a guaranteed right to in the future. And with the county clearly identifying other needs, the ability to count on that excess allocation in the future will become more questionable. I don't want to create a fear situation because I believe the county is going to be there for us through this drought. But the third point then is that we need to consider parity with others. So out of the 11 state water contractors, after Avila Beach made their decision to buy drought buffer a couple weeks ago, the only two remaining who haven't are Oceano and Shandon. Now, Shandon just recently connected to the State Water Project, or they are connecting right now, but in 1992, though they participated in the State Water Project, they didn't do the physical connection. They have recently either finished or are in the process of connecting Shandon to the State Water Project, in part because of the growing concerns about the Paso Robles groundwater basin. And so Shandon is bringing in its allocation. I don't know whether or not the county is planning on buying drought buffer for Shandon anytime in the foreseeable future or not. But I say we need to consider parity with the others. And my points there is that all the other subcontractors really have drought buffer. And as we move forward in the future, And the county is proposing to change some of the programs associated with state water. There's really two different influences that your board has in order to seek positive outcomes. One is you have contractual rights, and so certainly, you know, legal counsel and I have been looking at that to make sure that all of your counsel, of your contractual rights are protected. But the second is the issue of political persuasion, because we know that, you know, living in a democratic society, elected officials have both the pleasure and the burden of making significant policy decisions for their communities. And the political persuasion that Oceano might have at the Board of Supervisors would be diminished if we're not on parity with the other state water subcontractors. I think that I already sense a little bit of that in the discussions on these issues with the county and the other state water subcontractors. And certainly since we have a voice that we want to express on some of these details, having parity with the other state water subcontractors really helps to reinforce the voices and reinforce the contract rights that we otherwise have. My fourth and fifth points are really a lot shorter. One is it's our least expensive reliability options. Our other reliability options are more expensive. I would, you know, obviously your board is supportive of trying to move recycled water forward. You've been supportive of the analysis that the county has been doing on Diablo water. But those infrastructure, those both require the development of some significant infrastructure. On state water, the infrastructure is already there. And at $107 an acre foot for drought buffer, it's far less expensive to build up your reliability around that existing program. There are some cost control issues associated with that $107 for the drought buffer that I think can also be accomplished in order to help reduce the cost. But no, I don't want to go to that analysis in numbers because it's really hard to pin them down. But the two cost offsets are one is that the $107 has moved up from about $70 5 years or so ago, and that's because of the tunnel projects that DWR is working on up in the Delta. Our county doesn't need to fully participate in the tunnel projects, and so we'll be able to cap that $107 somewhat, control those costs a little bit. And the second thing is really that with more storage options, I would think that the opportunity is likely from time to time that some of water that would be in storage in San Luis Reservoir might be available to sell on a statewide basis. The multi-year program a few years ago sold it at $253 an acre foot, and I would anticipate that's going to reoccur. If our situation meant that we had sufficient storage at that time, we might be able to sell some of that. It's not the type of thing that's, we can't think of it as a profit-making endeavor at all. It would hard to be envisioned that participating in the drought buffer program, we would recover all of our costs, you know, through some ability to sell in the future. But the likelihood of offsetting some of our costs certainly would be possible. In the staff report, I laid out a couple of different options. One is a drought buffer at 750 acre feet per year, which matches our wet water allocation. That's what most state water subcontractors are doing. Those are the dollar amounts that I think can fit within our state water project budget estimates in the Prop 218. The other example I gave was drought buffer of $1,500 acre feet per year, or double our current wet water allocation. That's more similar to what Morro Bay and one of the smaller subcontractors have done. But that, to me, is we're not that reliant on state water. Morro Bay is much more reliant on state water than we are. We're not that reliant, and that level of cost implication, I think, would just be too much. So I'd be more inclined to go with the 750 acre feet. I'd still like to see recycled water move forward, obviously. I think that's really an issue that is going to first and foremost be on the sanitation district's plates for Rio Grande, Grover, and Oceano. And obviously that's going to have more discussions as well. But the state water program drought buffer agreements That's the single thing that your board can consider and make decisions on that, yes, the county has to approve it, but they've done it for all the other agencies. They're not going to deny it for Oceano. And it's something that, in a way, your board can control your fate and much less reliant on others. And then fifth is that, well, I mentioned that there are going to be some cost offset opportunities, but it's not a profit-making endeavor. So obviously in the written staff report, there are more details. Be glad to answer any questions. The one thing that simply cannot be predicted right now is the long-term reliability of the State Water Project. If we knew exactly what the long-term reliability of the State Water Project could be, I'd be able to do the analysis or have somebody do the analysis that would say 425 acre feet of drought buffer is smarter than 750 acre feet, or 800 acre feet of drought buffer is smarter than 500 acre feet of drought buffer. But the State Water Project has been under such dramatic changes because of the reoperations in the Delta, and whether or not the tunnel projects are going to go through, that the ability to really nail down what would be a perfect amount of drought buffer for Oceano is just not in the cards. That's why I turn to really more the policy position is a really good one, and developing parity with the other state water subcontractors where most of them have bought a drought buffer equivalent to their wet water. And again, be glad to answer questions, do follow up. And that concludes my verbal comments.
Mr. Guerrero.
Thank you for the thorough report and the staff report. Obviously, I was looking at the map that you included in and showed the current status of the drought, and it's full color. One of my concerns is that if we don't buy the buffer water or have that be part of our portfolio, at least for the time being, that it might get claimed by other jurisdictions as more people try to go online, for example, Shandon with State Water. Although I did hear in a political campaign that we don't have a drought, so maybe we don't need to worry about it. I'm kidding.
The presidential campaign?
Yes.
I heard that too, and I heard, well, what I heard was that the water out of the Delta would be flowing, right? So the restrictions that are being imposed at the Delta for essentially both State Water and Central Valley Project,
right,
would be quickly solved in Washington, D.C., and all that water would be flowing.
I'm
not going to count on that.
I'm not either.
Can talk about it later.
And of course, the delivery system to the Central Coast just isn't there for Delta water. So, so far as I know, anyway. But I think that it's the prudent thing to do, and I'd be inclined to follow the recommendations of staff on that. So, thank you, President Lucy.
Karen?
Yeah, I sort of think I understand why we would wait until after we looked at the budget. But is there any reason why we couldn't just go ahead now?
No, there is no reason why you can't go ahead now. As an individual who makes recommendations and advises elected bodies, I want to really always make sure that I express whether or not a decision is necessary now or whether or not it's not necessary now. And I think the timing is right. But if I ever felt like your board had to make a decision like immediately on a particular issue, I would make sure to express that opinion. And likewise with other... This isn't the biggest decision, obviously. It's an important decision, but it's not...
I'm just thinking if we...
make or break, and so I have no problem with making the recommendation tonight. The real question is, what's the level of comfort of your board, and do you want more time? Do you want to look at the budget? Again, I've looked at it in sufficient detail that I believe that the line items for State Water are good, but we have other numbers that are going to go up and down in the budget, so what's the overall budget going to look like? And we're clearly in much better shape today than we were, a year
ago.
Yeah.
Well, I just,
5 years ago.
The more we talk about things and dilly-dally around, this could be something we could have, we could do if we wanted to, and it would be done, and then we could move on and do something else, and it would be done, and then we'd move on.
Yes.
There's so much to do.
That's why my alternative recommendation would be you can approve it subject to sufficient funding in the final adopted budget. That way, as you're going through the budget adoption, you don't really have to reconsider this item. We just have to look at that adopted, at the proposed, you know, budget as I put it forward and say, okay, is there sufficient money in here for the drought buffer agreement? And if there is, then there's no further deliberations. If your review of the budget creates concerns, then that would mean that this item would have to come back.
I like looking at it that way, just because I know we've talked about quite a few things that are not all in front of us right now, so I would support that. But in general, I'd definitely support getting at least, probably at least the equal amount of drought buffer to our allocation. So.
Yeah, I agree as well. I don't think as San Luis Obispo becomes more and more populated, I think that we're going to have less and less options for diversifying our water sources and other sources. And I think that if our cost is coming down on our state, the $930,000 that we've been putting into the state roughly, if that's coming down and we can supplement that, well, not the water wouldn't be supplemented, but the dollars just plug in the drought buffer where those savings would be, I think that would be great. But I'm very much in favor of diversifying our water as much as humanly possible. What I wanted to ask you is the San Luis Reservoir is do we have the ability to bring our water down to Lopez? The reason why I think of that is for evaporation. I think that reservoir, the evaporation levels are higher at that reservoir than they are at this reservoir, but I'm not sure that we have the ability to shift our stored water.
You're correct on all those points. Yes, San Luis Reservoir is in a hotter climate, so evaporation is going to be more significant. I can't recall, though, whether or not we take evaporation losses in San Luis. Even though the water will evaporate, I can't recall whether or not in the State Water Project we get hit with evaporation losses. That I would have to look back to in the contracts and the operations. We know that at Lopez Reservoir, while we're storing it during the emergency under the Low Reservoir Response Plan, yeah, we are subject to calculations of evaporation losses. So the physical side of it, yes, water evaporates more quickly over in the valley where temperatures are a lot hotter. The second part of the question, which you said you're not sure about, you're correct, though, which is that we do not have any right to store state water in Lopez right now. What I would anticipate and what I do anticipate is that as we've been talking about Lopez and trying to establish storage rights at Lopez, which is getting intertwined with the Habitat Conservation Plan and is going to take quite some time to be able to resolve, I think that it is wise for us to be able to push the issue of the ability to store state water in Lopez as well. And it would be subject to limitations, but that strategy goes hand in hand with obtaining drought buffer. You know, I also want to sort of bring in the comment that Director Guerrero made, because much of California is not in as bad of a drought situation, and because state water then relies on Northern California watersheds that, you know, we're drawing water from an area that's now gotten some drought relief, right, versus our other water sources, Lopez and groundwater, are on the Central Coast, and they haven't gotten any drought relief. And as I mentioned at the last meeting, 100% of the water behind Lopez Reservoir has been allocated out. in my earlier GM comments, I said that the county has done this analysis on Lopez Reservoir. According to the new regulations that are coming down with the state on how do you predict what your three-year supply is. That analysis is based on the prior 3 years in a drought, which means that there is really nominal additional water that the county is predicting that we can rely on from Lopez over the next three-year period. That what's in storage right now, what we've been able to store in Lopez, is about what we can rely on. So the idea of having a good water resource that comes from Northern California watersheds and helps to diversify the local water resources that we have.
Okay. Does anybody else have any more questions? Is anybody in the audience that would like to ask any questions?
Okay. I guess I do have a little bit of a question. If we were to approve like an amount equal to our allocation, but then find that maybe the budget allows for a little bit less than that or a little bit more, is that where we could bring it back, or is that where maybe we would give staff a range? You know what I mean?
That would take a little bit of a trickier motion, but I think you can accomplish that tonight. And maybe what we should do is sort of break this down into three components. The first is the recommendation number three, which is to specify the drought buffer water amount to be included in Article 8. I would, if you deliberate and take a motion on that first, and then the second question would be, would it be subject to amounts included in the final budget? That could be a second motion. And the third motion could be that Article 8 drought buffer amount could be modified to match the funding level that's established in the final adopted budget. And that way, if your board says, you know, it's we're going to approve $30,000 rather than $45,000 in the budget, then the drought buffer, I just use, you know, math, and the drought buffer amount would drop from 750 acre feet to 500 acre feet. So if that makes sense, I think you can accomplish all of those through multiple motions tonight.
Okay. All right. Jen, do you want to make the motion?
All right. I move that we approve the attached drought buffer water agreement and specify the amount as... do we want to specify an amount at all yet? Or
yeah, I would. I think you were inclined to go with 750 acre feet
per
year.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Okay. Specify the amount as 750 acre feet to match our allocation. Subject to sufficient funds in the final... Oh, wait. Is that a different
That's
measure?
Fine.
Okay. Subject to sufficient funds in the final adopted budget.
Okay.
Second.
So can I ask for a roll call vote on this one, please?
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Guerrero?
Yes.
President Lucy?
Yes.
And so the second motion might then be that to modify the amount included in Article 8 to match the actual funding that's adopted in the budget, if it's insufficient to fund the full 750 acre feet.
So moved.
Second.
Thanks.
That was a friendly amendment.
So,
Celia.
We have a
second
motion
half.
And a second. Ms. Blackburn, Director Blackburn made it, and I have seconded it.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
Director Guerrero?
Yes.
Vice President White?
Yes.
President Lucy?
Yes.
And then I think the third motion, one and two are not really action, but procedural. The final motion would be item four, which is to direct the president to execute the agreement in its final form, provided as substantially similar to the attached agreement after adoption of the final budget and determination of the final quantity to be included in Article 8.
Yep.
Second.
Was the yep a I so move?
Yeah, I so move.
I speak Mary. I knew what that was.
Matt knew what I meant.
And I'll second that. That reflects the intent of the board. So.
President Lucy?
Yes.
Director Guerrero?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
Vice President White?
Yes.
Okay.
You know, Madam President, we have a closed session. The only other item that is item 14, future hearing items, and maybe we discuss that now first.
I think we should also announce and post that there is a celebration at the Oceano Bicentennial Park being held by the Kiwanis on Saturday, June 18th at 11 a.m. And
that's a Triangle Park.
Triangle Park. It is a community event, and so hopefully the community will come for that flag raising there at the park.
And I think there's a sign going up or something too, right?
A what?
Isn't there something else going on too?
Well, afterwards there's going to be a celebration at the depot.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, I don't
it
think
requires RSVP, and I'd like to acknowledge the Guyton family for all their hard work and 40 years plus of community service. Really wonderful people.
Yeah.
And regrettably, I cannot be in attendance, but I did go out.
You cleaned it up.
And I helped weed, so I did my part. And I've recovered. Under future agenda hearing items, then, my recommendation is a special meeting on June 29th to consider the two-year budget. The intent would be then I would come back on your next regular meeting on June 22nd to present a lot of details so that your board can see what's in there. And then the following week, if your board directs changes and whatnot, we'd come back for final adoption. The other thing I'd like to do on June 29th, though, is I'm hopeful that we can do that during normal regular hours, since it's really the next regular meeting on Wednesday evening, the 22nd, that we'll be running through the details of it. And the 29th is really reserved for, final action on the preliminary budget. I have to notice that.
That's a Wednesday?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Which time?
4 o'clock.
8 a.m.?
Whatever meets the board's pleasure on timing.
What's your time?
It's fine.
I have no problems.
Can we do 4 o'clock?
Yeah, I can. Can okay. Matt?
Yes.
He works.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
And that will give us an opportunity, especially if we arrive a little bit early, to do a meet and greet with Carrie.
Yeah, great.
It's June 29th, 4 o'clock then?
Yes. Okay. With that, Jeff.
Okay. President Lucy, do you want to take public comment on closed session items?
Yes, anybody that would like to speak on closed session, now's the time. Hearing none. Back to you, Mr. Minery.
Board will adjourn to closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.93, conference with District Counsel regarding the receipt of a claim pursuant to the Government Claims Act. Their number of cases is 1.